Haribol, thank you first of all very, very much for this beautiful installation. It's an art, it is called an installation, where you bring different items together and they all spell out a meaning, they speak. So Vajajadi has explained to us a little bit about this installation. I really appreciated how it all started, with Radha and Krishna waking up in the early morning and Srimati Radharani relating to Krishna a dream which surprised her at first. She had seen at the banks of the Ganga a golden personality dancing amongst others and singing the names, and she felt a little bit surprised because she felt attraction to this golden personality. And Radharani can only be attracted by one person, and I think you know who that person is. Lord Krishna, of course. And when she saw, my heart is attracted to this golden person, I know it must be Krishna. But then, when it is Krishna, I'm always together with Krishna. I didn't see me, or did I see me? It is said the incarnation of Gauranga or Lord Chaitanya is a combined form of Radha and Krishna, but it's very hidden, very secret. So Krishna sees the doubt or the question in Srimati Radharani's mind and takes out his kastuba jewel, and from that jewel, it was a little bit difficult to show maybe, the same scene which Radha had just seen moments ago in her dream was projected. It was almost, I think today we would say, it was a holographic image which stood there in the air. It was not projected against the screen, but from Krishna's kastuba mani, the scene of Lord Chaitanya dancing with his devotees at the bank of the Yamuna was somehow manifested or brought forth into the air. And then Srimati Radharani did understand, yes, that personality, Gauranga, is you, and it's also me. It's inside you and outside me. Inside your Krishna and outside the golden complexion, Srimati Radharani, with the same disposition of Radha, that is to give mercy and love without putting a condition on it. On our love, we always put a post-it. I love you under this condition. It's called conditioned love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially we learned yesterday, Nityananda, removed that post-it, that condition on love, and give unconditioned love. That means they give it even to those who are not qualified. Unconditioned love means to give love to those who are not qualified. Prabhupada said, in this world, what comes closest to this love is the love of the mother to the child. The child may be in a bad mood and scream. The child may have played in the dirt and come to his mother not clean but very dirty, but still the mother doesn't say, I love you only when you are in a good mood, or I love you only when you are clean. The mother's love is without condition as much as it is possible for a human being in this world. So, I think when we deal with this very difficult to understand Guru Tattva, we also find somehow a love without a post-it on it, without a condition. A love which is extended by Krishna to us. I want to express this by quoting to you or singing to you a verse from the Bhagavatam, where we find out how it is that we met someone who can give us guidance in difficult questions in our spiritual journey. It is here in the first canto, the first chapter, text 22. Tvam nasandashito datram dushtaram nishtitishatam kalim satva haram pungsam kanadhara ivanavam. Before I read to you the translation, we will sing a little bit. It's a very, very amazing verse, and I think we should sing a little bit before so that our receptivity is better.
Sa 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 s Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I want to start this lecture with a question to all of you. Can you please remember when it was when we first met? Try to remember the circumstance. Maybe it was, I remember when I first met Gokrishna, it was at a house program in London, and I think you came to the house program, isn't it? And we were in the living room. I remember there was a reddish carpet. I can remember this now. But I want to ask you to remember when you first met me. Was it maybe at a program, someone's house, on a gas station, when you were riding with a bicycle through a forest and you fell down and I came and said, do you need some help? I can remember various circumstances when I met devotees. Please remember, when was it that we first met? If it was in a public program, how did the hall look like? And if it was in a house, how did the room look like? It was in nature. What were the trees like, if there were any trees? And maybe more important, what transpired? What happened? Did you say something? Did I say something to you? And maybe even more important, what went on in your heart? Did you immediately appreciate me, or did you think, what a strange person? That happens very often. I can't figure him out. What does he really think? What was your impression at that time?
I
sensitive field that five people are not yet thinking. It's a, you know, mental energy is another energy like physical energy. So please start to think. What was it like? Thank you very much. Whatever it was like, these meetings, especially, you know, all meetings, but especially the important meetings, are always arranged. There's either a karmic influence there, when two people meet, it was their karma that they met, or there can also be a divine influence there, Krishna's arrangement. But even from a Vaishnava perspective, karmic meetings, where you know, sometimes I hear when husband and wife reflect about how they first met and how it became such an important relationship that they started a family together. And they often say it was something which had to happen. It was meant to happen. And it is true. It is some karmic arrangement or divine arrangement. My point is, any important meeting which takes place, there is a meaning behind it, why it took place. It is not meaningless. It is meaningful. Any important meeting. There is one tribe whom I have I was interested to find out what they think. It lives in Mongolia. There are only 2,000 members in this tribe. And they have the understanding that people are connected with each other by something. They don't know I think they know karma. They know karma, as I understand. They're connected by some bonds, invisible bonds. And when it is the time for them to meet, they come together. It's unavoidable. It's not that another person can come. No, two specific persons who are not interchangeable. You can't, these two specific people and no one else, they meet. They give an analogy. They say it's little strings of fate which bind people together like this. And as the time arises where they should meet, these strings begin to contract, and then this person meets that person. They come together. It's a way to express something with an image, metaphor, to make it clear that meetings which are important, of course they are casual meetings where you meet someone on the street and you may have a polite exchange with them, and then he goes his way and you go your way, and you never meet again, and you often forget these short, inconsequential meetings. But there are these meetings which are consequential, which bring something. that I change my lifestyle, that I, you know, or that I become somehow connected in a deep friendship or marriage, or they are arranged. There is a meaning behind it. They are not meaningless. So, also because they have consequences. So also meeting, our meeting is not meaningless. They brought consequences. You became a devotee. You changed your value system, and you what is important in your life. And if you have continued to listen to me over the years, you will most probably think that these deeper things are more important than the external things, like our two colorful announcing birds. They said, oh yes, we have heard that I don't become a devotee just by putting on the dress. That is a typical thing which I try to say, that you have to really do an inner cultivation. It's not enough if you join a different culture, an Indian spiritual movement. You have to see that your heart is transformed. I think you have heard this many times. So if you have continued to listen to me, this also might have had a consequence to you, this message, where you understood, well, maybe I should go a little deeper in my Krishna consciousness. Maybe I should take this chanting to the next level in my life. Because, yes, and you might have gone to India for that purpose and visited retreats there. I'm saying important meetings have consequences, and they shape our lives in some ways or another. In this verse which we chanted together, this is expressed by the saints in the forest of Naimisharanya, who met Suta Goswami. They said, Tvam na sandashito datram dushtaram nishtitirshatam kalim satvaharam pungsam kanadaraivanavam. They said, we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence. This is what they said a verse before. And then they said, see, we desire to cross the difficult to cross ocean of Kali. This Kali is an age where all our good qualities are just destroyed. We see this friendships break, you know, people become, they cheat each other, or they are, you know, I don't want to give examples here. Good qualities of the human being are often compromised. So we know, we have met you. You are like a captain of a ship for us. You've appeared before us by the grace of the Lord. Why? To help us cross the ocean of problems, to guide us over this ocean. So they express very nicely what is behind the meeting of the guru and the disciple. It's the grace of the Lord. The mercy, often the undeserved mercy of the Lord, that somehow arranged our life in such a way that we would have this meeting of two individuals. I do know in my life that before I actually physically met my spiritual master, a few things happened in my life where I knew it was not by chance. For instance, I was promised, no, I was given a grant. Grant means like you get this like a gift by the government of Hamburg, a huge amount of money, which they said, we give it to you so that you make a movie. And I thought, with me, a movie? I'm not Steven Spielberg. And then I thought, but then what should I do as a movie? If I have now so much money, what should I do to present something of value to the people? And I said, I don't know. I have not much of value. I had an idea. It did not manifest. I'm happy it was not so valuable, this idea. I began to think, when there was the chance for me to contribute to society, that I don't know anything which is valuable to contribute. And I must learn. I must get to know things. And in this way, many things happened. What also happened, I must admit to you, I became frustrated with material life. A few things happened. The friends turned, they didn't turn against me. They disappointed me very much. I had some experiences which were really otherworldly. I can only call them now, from my perspective, from what I know now, I would call them mystical experiences. And in this way, I was slowly pulled. The lines began to drag me and pull me in one direction. And I wondered, where will this all lead to? I will not tell you my whole history here. Maybe it is interesting at another time to know. It's usually inspiring when we hear how someone started his spiritual life and what happened, and we will for sure see parallels to our own life, because it's often, you know, the signature is the same. Krishna's signature, who arranged all this. But yes, so several things needed to happen until I finally sat before Srila Prabhupada. It was in London, and I do remember I was not comfortable in this first meeting, because I knew that something would happen which I was very afraid of. I just felt my life would turn upside down. A total shift would happen, and I was afraid of this. I didn't know that the side which came up was much better than the side which went down. because I didn't know what would happen if I would become a devotee. I was actually afraid of this, because I had other plans, very different goals, and to join these people who were so different than the people I used to associate with, I was scared to be very, very honest with you. But as when I said before Prabhupada, I put a question to him and he answered the question to me personally, and that was it. I knew. I will live this life. It may be difficult. There may be challenges which I don't even know yet, but I want this life more than the other life. And as I went on in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada, I soon began to think, I began to detect that this was arranged by Krishna for me. I have a very strong spiritual master, a very stern spiritual master. He's also extremely kind, but his, when you want to know what he wants really of you, his path is crystal clear, and it is sometimes very narrow. It's described in his own words. He quotes a verse from the Katha Upanishad. It's as it's like a razor's blade, you know, very precise. And I'm very creative by nature, and very, very curious. So, yes, but I know more and more as I grow older that this was arranged by Krishna out of divine grace. I had no qualification for this. I may have had an interest, but as far as my the qualifications like mind control many things, I was a man of his time, or a child of his time. You know, child of Kali Yuga. So, but today I can honestly say that I can see that this is a result of a divine arrangement, and I do believe personally that my journey, which brought me to the station of becoming a disciple, started already in a previous life. I really think, and I have reasons to believe, and those who are a little bit interested in such things, I could tell you privately why I believe in this. And I have come to understand when the relationship works and when it does not work. The relationship is, this meaningful relationship is a difficult to understand relationship. I know that my older disciples struggle at times with this relationship. They don't know, should I stay or should I go in this relationship? Things have changed for me in this relationship. They feel something very valuable and natural. Yes, we change, situations change, and so on. But what I want to say is, this relationship can remain alive if you ask yourself one question. All relationships in this world, isn't it? Think about it. They stay alive under certain circumstances. I see some of you, you are divorced. You left your husband or you left your wife. You didn't think this when you married. Why did you leave? I'm not asking the question, is it good to have a divorce or if it is not good. I'm not addressing a cultural or traditional discussion. No, that's much, much deeper question. Why did you leave a relationship? You don't need to think of marriage if that is too painful for you to face at this stage. You can think of another friendship which you had. Why did you leave your friend? Yes, you would say, there are reasons. He disappointed my expectations, most properly. Now another question. How could the relationship have continued? There are some relationships, I call them lift relationship, elevator relationship. People come for some time in a certain space, the space of the elevator, and then someone leaves at the third story or the fifth story or the seventh story. That's natural, I think, no? We don't cry a tear when someone leaves the lift and we stay in the lift. There are lift relationships. There are unfortunately also lift marriages. You know, they are not, somehow it was not the right combination, at least not for long. There is such a thing. I'm not doubting this. I'm not passing a judgment. I'm asking a question that's totally different. Why? I don't think it's bad if you have a reason. I'm just asking a question without judging the answer in any way. I don't say it's wrong to leave a friend. No, it's much deeper. It's not about good and bad. It's about why, reasons. And now with the even more difficult question, how could the relationship have gone on? I think in any relationship, including the guru-disciple relationships, there are bound to be misunderstandings. There are bound to be fallouts. There are bound to be disappointments because we operate in an atmosphere where difficulties are bound to happen. If you jump into the water, you're bound to get wet. It's not bad if you get wet in the water. It's also not good. It's just the way it is. So in any relationship in the world, including the guru-disciple relationship, there will be some challenges because it's the world of challenges. And as long as we do not yet know ourselves completely, things will happen in our mind which we don't even know why they happen. They happen like our digestion happens. We don't know precisely what happens in it. I want to suggest one question. I've already said it, but because about 90% of you have forgotten this question already. I know you, I'm also a Hare Krishna devotee. I will ask it again. Asked in the relationship this one question. What is the meaning of this relationship? Why did it come to pass in the first place? It was an arrangement, some type of arrangement. those of you who are very spiritually minded will say it was Krishna's arrangement. Those of you who are not so spiritually minded will say maybe it was my karma. You know, there was an arrangement, that's my point. And everyone, the high devotee and the beginning devotee amongst us, can understand there is some meaning behind it. How can you keep this meaning alive? You should ask one question. What are my next steps in my spiritual life? This relationship is all about spiritual life. It's all about moving forward. It's all about service and being useful, contributing to the well-being and the rise in consciousness. What are my next steps? Now I would like to introduce a very important concept. I struggled for a long time to bring this. I know that some of my disciples say, yes, I have asked Satchinandan Swami and he didn't give me a satisfactory answer to this question. What should I do? How should I move on? He said something, but it did not work for me. I want to say now, and want to repeat it, Satchinandan Swami is not alone. There is Srila Prabhupada behind him. He does the things he does only because he wants to serve Srila Prabhupada. And see, when you can't get an answer from me, which you feel works for you, I will not ask now the question, why didn't, maybe you need to change something. I could ask this question. I don't will ask this today. You can go to Prabhupada or the Parampara. Guru is not just a person. I may sit here, but what is the essential thing which I want to give is a message, a knowledge, a connection, something which is alive and empowering. Let me give you an example. I know someone from when he was so small. He would carry my red bag always. He had big eyes, looked extremely alert, a child, no? And then now the child is a psychologist. He is studying in the university, and because he's so gifted, so talented, he is teaching students, but on behalf of the professor. He is a person, a student who has some, let us say, how do you say this? Some space or some permission to teach in a certain realm. But if there are questions which the other students have, and the student and this teacher student, yes, for some reason there is a, you know, he's maybe not able to understand, or his the question, or as it is mostly the case, the students are not so satisfied, the other students are not so satisfied with the teacher student, it does happen, then they can go to the professor and clarify it with him. Most probably they will be also dissatisfied with what the professor tells them, but they have another person to go to. Very often, when it comes to any relationship, we should work in the area we can work at. That is, I can change myself, I can't change the other person. So let me start with myself, and then usually in the dynamics of relationships, things do change. We would have to hear a lot of boring psychology to understand this. But have you noted when you speak with someone differently, how the person who is all of a sudden different to you? Have you noted? No, it's very off. But of course, so work where you can work. But today I don't want to go to this. I don't want to tell you what I've told you at other times. Try to purify your heart. Try to connect with the Sampradaya. I want to say I'm not alone. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Believe me, I would not have the audacity to do it. It was in two years when I was nominated to be a guru. I spent a lot of time in Ekachakra, the village of Lord Nityananda, and prayed to Lord Nityananda and asked him, "You are the Guru Tattva. You should give some inspiration if this is done." And all I could see in my heart, and I'm really sincere here, I really want to say something. What became clear to me after these prayers is, yes, it must be done, but understand, don't do it alone. You are a servant of your spiritual master always. And that is what is motivating me. And of course, also I see miracles in this relationship, that disciples who listen and put their own mental noise, that's a strong word, mental chatter, or the constant, our mind is constantly talking to us, the mental tone talk aside, and they do, I see it works. And I don't say it works because of me, it works because of this institution which is made by God, that people learn from people. Therefore, there need to be guides, those who are more spiritually knowledgeable, and they teach others who are less knowledgeable so that they can advance. It works. It works in all fields, also in the spiritual field. You know how here in this verse the guru is described in Sanskrit. The word is kanadara. Dara means he carries, or he has, and kana means ears. The guru is described as someone who has ears. I mean, I also have ears, I'm not a guru. Well, he has ears to hear his spiritual master. And then, when he hears his spiritual master, he will talk of what he has heard. And in this way, it continues. Kanadara. He carries ears with him, special ears. He listens to the spiritual master. Therefore, he's a captain of the ship of life. This is how it is described. No? The captain has heard from the captain people. Not captain people, how do you call it? There's a captain school where they learn this wave, you have to go. The left side, that wave, you have to go to the right side. I don't know, I'm just making something up. So this is the Gulf Stream, and here these breezes, they are good. That breeze is very dangerous, especially the typhoons next to Japan. Oh, let me not try to remember what I know about captains, but okay. This is now Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. You might say, but Do you have an explanation why someone meets this guru and the other meets that guru and the other meets this guru? Is there a meaning behind it? And the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur found this. He says there are different ways in which different persons have awakened to spiritual consciousness. You know, some in this way, some with this understanding. And therefore, they see their own requirements. In other words, if I am in one way interested in Krishna consciousness, then I will go to a guru who is similarly disposed. When I have another inclination, then I go to a guru who is in a different way disposed. And my dear devotees, before I really know what is my spiritual inclination, I need some time. I shouldn't make my decision so quickly because I'm still young and I have not yet awakened so much to my spiritual life. How can I see which guru is good for me? I have one friend who is also a guru, and he told me one time his frustration. He gives kirtans which are often like rock and roll kirtan or hardcore kirtan, you know. And so on. He said there was one Mataji, she had an irokesic, what is it called? This what you have on the hair, like irokes? Mohawk. This is a hair is up like this. They need to use eggs for that, I understood. But there must be an alternative because some of them are vegan, I believe. So he came, she came, she was hardcore, you know, only hardcore music. Mozart is Maya. Hardcore. And she came and said, I want to become your disciple. My guru friend said, why? Yeah, because you also have hardcore kirtans. I think this young Mohawk person, Mohawk? Is it the right word? You know, punk. It's like punk. needs to wait until some more awakening is there. And then that person will know her real requirements on the spiritual path. It's not that in the spiritual world there is Sid Vicious and the so-and-so pistols, you know, and so on. That is not a permanent arrangement, you know. This is a musician from the hardcore scene, Sid Vicious and the so-and-so pistols. That is not in the spiritual world. That's not eternal. That requirement is not a spiritual requirement to have such a hardcore element in the guru-disciple relationship. I have given you an example you can smile about. If I would give you psychologically well-argued examples, which I see many times, you would become white in your face, because you might see that you made your decision mixed with such a motive. That will go, such a motive. That will not stay. So there are different ways in which different persons have awakened to spiritual consciousness, and therefore they see their own requirements differently and choose a guru who is appropriate, you know, who is good for this. So this shows us how there is much more behind the guru. Krishna himself, as the Samasti Guru, the sum total of all gurus, will appear in the Vyasti Guru, that is a specific guru who can cater to your spiritual requirement. And then in such a relationship, you will always want to know my next steps, how to move on. Hare Krishna. Is it, could I make myself understandable in the good? In the end, I want, I like this decoration very much. I mean, how good. I want to use this for another example. This was the rope of fate, which pulls people together according to the, you know, karma, you can say. Or I think the guru-disciple relationship is arranged by Krishna. I think so. I'm in my case, I'm 100% sure. What does the guru bring with him? My dear devotees, the guru brings a rope with him. And he lets the rope within the well where we are. Well heißt Brunnen in Deutsch. He lowers the rope of the divine instructions of the parampara. No? It's not his rope. It's a wonderful rope. It is a rope from the spiritual world. And he brings it and says, here is the rope. Grab the rope and you can be pulled out of the well. So sometimes the disciple, sometimes imagine now a person who says, the rope, help me to grab the rope. I can't grab the rope. Then you have to say, well, this is the one thing you have to do on your own. Grab the rope. Hold on to the rope. And then this will happen. And you will be uplifted. His holy name, his holiness, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, has written something about it, and I couldn't express it in a better way that I've decided to quote it for you. Can I quote it for you?
Yes.
Good. The guru has descended here with one end of that rope, one end, that is known as the Prema Bhakti Sutra. Sutra means rope. Prema Bhakti, you know. The rope of Prema Bhakti. The one end of the rope is tied where? To the lotus feet of Krishna. Wonderful. The one end of the rope is tied to the lotus feet of Krishna there in Goloka Vrindavan. With the other end of that rope, the guru has come here and sees who has fallen in the deep dark well, the Andakupa, who have been suffering and crying for many lifetimes. Seeing you crying, his heart bleeds, so he drops that rope. Catch it up, hold it very tightly, no slackness. Then he will pull you out of the deep dark well. That is Guru. That other end is tied to the lotus feet of Krishna. Now you will go to Krishna. Beautiful, no? So, my dear devotees, I want to end now. Yes, Prabhupada had told me personally into my face I should become a Guru. But he told all his disciples, he said, become a guru under one condition. And on this he put a condition. He said, you must be transparent you must serve your spiritual master and the parampara. He said it, that moment, or that then this rope is there. It's not interrupted. It's the rope which goes up. And I want to encourage you in the coming years. First of all, there are always new devotees. Please, before you decide who is your spiritual master, awaken a little bit more, that you know what is your requirement, what you need on your spiritual path. Don't make the decision so quick based on feelings which always come and go in this world, but make it on a deeper level, on a deeper consideration. And then those who are disciples, please hold fast to the rope of these divine instructions which come through our parampara. If you have difficulties with accepting something from me, let's be realistic. There is Srila Prabhupada, there are other God brothers. It's about that you make advancement in your spiritual life and you become inspired, that you go back to Godhead. That's the essence of all this, and that is the essence also, I think, of your ceremony which you will do now. Yes, I also want to say we have disciples from other spiritual masters. You are very, very much welcome always. Please think in what you hear, think about this in relationship to your spiritual master, and that will help you in your relationship very much to blossom. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Lord Nityananda Ram ki, Gaur Premanandi.